flavor is everywhere.
From text to mechanics.
Spicy pulls.
Salty plays.
The sweet taste of victory.
And the bitter sting of defeat.
That can lead to sour faces.
And umami friendships.
But all these flavors bring people together.
For a gathering.
A potluck of creativity, skill, and above all,
magic.
I'm Nat.
And I'm Matt.
And you are watching or listening to Flavor Profiles. Welcome.
Welcome. We're happy to see you back in the kitchen.
Yes. So happy to be here today. What are we talking about today, Matt?
Well, this is our first episode, so this is really the first full measure of our show, as it were. And we're going to go into
first flavor. First full measure.
Nah, I'm just full of these. I apologize in advance, but not really.
Yes, so today we're talking all about the flavor hex.
So this is a fun little thing that I read about a while ago in cooking on how to balance and enhance flavors off of the six main ones, which are salty, sweet, sour, spicy, bitter, and umami. Which, I mean, as you're going through those, I like to think there's a card that comes up in reference to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. These flavors are found all throughout magic, throughout the lore, throughout the cards, throughout gameplay. So let's talk about that.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind really is hex as a spell. The flavor text on it is kind of appropriate. It's a 6-drop. For destroying 6 targets, and it says when killing 5 isn't enough. So, in a way, we're right on brand.
6 flavors? 6 for hex? I mean, it seems right on the dot.
It really does. And all those flavors do make up a nice hex, and it's a nice way to elaborate, as you said, on the multiverse of flavors in magic. So, I mean, we've had, over time, most people would think of spicy pulls. We had a new set drop recently, and everyone's showing what they're getting from Doctor Who in the collector's boxes. I mean, everyone's favorite is a salty play, which can both make and break a game, as well as maybe a friendship. And then earlier this year, there were a couple bittersweet completions.
There were... So I feel like they all have the power to enhance or balance. They work together. They may not necessarily be alone. Sometimes they are alone, but sometimes they work together. It affects the overall experience.
And when you think about balancing and enhancing, it's not so much a static connection. If you think of the Guilds of Ravnica that so many of us link cards to, it's, you know, salty sweet doesn't necessarily mean one guild. It could apply to a multitude of them. So everything is fluid, which is makes it kind of fun and keeps things interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about these real quick. What comes to your mind when we talk about bitter?
The first card that really comes to mind, and I'm sorry, it's kind of a cop-out by just going by the name, but Bitter Blossom. I think it's appropriate giving Wilds of Eldraine lately. We had a great fairy pre-con, and it's sort of one of those classics. It really fits. I mean, it's in mono black for one and a black. Gives you a typal enchantment for fairies. At the beginning of your upkeep, you lose one life and create a 1/1 black fairy rogue creature token with flying. So it's fitting in that bitterness. I'd almost say it's a little bittersweet because for me, I love tokens. I'm like, yes, another token, and bitter. I'm like, yeah, I take one life, but it's not that bad. Sometimes you kind of want it. I mean, when I think bitter with food, I'm a black coffee drinker. So I like a little bit of bitter to kind of get me going, and it makes me happy.
I feel like we all need a little bit of bitter in Magic. You know, it keeps us on our toes.
It's a little friendly rivalry is all
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
How about you, Nat? What flavor really jumps out and speaks to you first and foremost?
Oh, if anyone knows how I play Magic, I feel like sour kind of speaks to me. Sour, when I think about sour and Magic, it's not necessarily the cards that make you so angry that someone's playing them. But sour is like, I think of an aftertaste. I feel like it's like that sour aftertaste. Like, it doesn't feel great, but like, you're okay with it. Like, that's how I play Magic most of the time. Is the cards I'm playing, like, you don't feel great about them, but you're not mad about it either. So
I'm automatically thinking about your Umbris deck and how I get pummeled every time. But you know what? I enjoy it. It is fun to see that go off. And I think that's a good little example.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's there. You know, you're okay with it. You like the sour. It stings a little bit, but like, you're okay with it.
Would you consider something like an Eldrazi maybe in the sour? Because, I mean, for me, I love seeing people make big plays, see their deck go off. So if someone can cast something at 10 or more really early, I'm like, that's really cool. I am really dead.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think sour is where those cards lie, where, you know, they're cool to see, but like, you're not super happy that they got played, but like, you're okay with it because, you know, you're like, okay, the thing is happening.
It really kind of is emphasizing the gathering point of Magic, I feel, is that we're all in this together. And at the same time, someone's got to win the game. We want them all to go on forever, but it's better if you can get a few more in.
I feel like sour happens a lot in the lore of Magic, too. Like, you know, something will happen to one of our favorite characters where, you know, we're not like super upset about it, but like, we're not thrilled about it either. It just has like that sour aftertaste. So
yeah, we all have our favorites in the lore for sure. And I mean, going back to our reference to completion, I mean, there were some sad moments in that. And left you feeling kind of sour. You always hope that they're going to come back, and most of us are thinking, oh, they'll fix it in a few sets, but I'm still waiting, and I'm still a little hurt over Jason Vraska.
Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, I was just going to say, what else in the hex? Like, well, what appeals to you?
Well, I wouldn't say it appeals to me, but it's a good segue from sour is salty, because I think a lot of people would view a sour play as a salty one when there's really different feeling to it. And I mean, first thing that comes to mind with salt is land destruction.
Land destruction, stacks, you know, like hard stacks. Light stacks is like more like a sour, but like hard stacks is kind of salty. Also, for me personally, salty is like a board wipe where nobody has any plays afterwards. Like, just wipe to the board to wipe the board. That to me makes me salty. That's where I associate salt.
I'll never forget one of the first games I played at the LGS by me, and I took my Brimaz deck in the first one of the early iterations, and I had, since it's cat themed, Cataclysm. And I played that, and immediately everyone stared at me. I felt like such a villain. The only thing that saved me in that moment is the kid behind me playing a Wrath of God followed by an Armageddon and then bragging about having six board wipes in their deck, and suddenly I was a hero again. I then cut that. I cut Cataclysm from it and never looked back.
Yeah, yeah. So I think our distinction between sour and salty here is salty is like, there's not that like okay with it aftertaste. Salty is like, you know, if something's too salty, you're like, bleh, I don't want this.
Yeah, you need salt a yes. little bit, especially in cooking, but within measure.
Yeah, too much salt and it's not good. Too much salt is not a good thing.
Salt. No, and salt is what really will stick out in game memory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. if you put in just the right amount of salt, like, it tastes good, you know? Like, you don't think about mm-hmm. it. But, like, if you use too little salt, you obviously can tell that it's lacking a little mm-hmm. bit. But if you put in too much salt, then you can't get rid of it. You're just... you're stuck.
And sometimes that means you're stuck in that pod on stream for a little extra and hoping to kind of get out, which hopefully is a rare occurrence. And I think of friendly salt in games amongst mm-hmm. friends, where you kind of get to throw out and play a villain for a little bit. And everyone knows that it's not intentional. And it's really about being entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know, it's not personal. And you have to have interaction.
Yeah, yeah. It's the balance. You have to have the exact right amount of salt, or else it's just, it won't be good.
So what I'm hearing is we got to make sure to balance those flavors.
You do. We'll talk about that more next week.
Oh, that's going to be a fun one. So what's another part of the hex that jumps out at you?
Spicy, for sure.
Oh, you're thinking spicy pulls, spicy plays, all of the above?
Both. I'm someone who has terrible luck, so I'm not usually pulling the spicy card. I don't usually have the spicy pulls, but I love...
What's your spiciest pull?
My spiciest pull in a card game wasn't in Magic, it was in Pokemon. And I didn't even realize I had pulled the... alt art Umbreon from Evolving Skies, and I was like, oh, it's a cute Umbreon card. And then I looked up the card and I was like, oh, it's an Umbreon card. So
was that when we were all in Denver and
no,
we ended up buying a couple of them, or was it because I know you got something flashy in that
I did
too.
It on a stream. It was like I've only gotten a few Pokemon things, but my spiciest Magic pull probably the foiled borderless jeweled lotus I pulled.
Such a gorgeous card.
Yeah, it's really pretty. It's like so pretty, like I almost just like don't want to play with it because like I don't want anything to happen to it. But yeah, that card is gorgeous. But I love seeing people play spicy cards in Magic. I love playing against spicy cards, and I love throwing in spicy cards. Usually the spicy cards are like the ones you don't expect either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They hit the table and you're like, what is this card?
I think about Massacre Worm is, I think, one of those spicy plays that keeps coming back to haunt me. I love that card and I loathe that card.
Yeah.
And it's not really, I mean, if you think about it, people are probably listening going, Massacre Worm, that's just pretty standard. But I'm like, that's one that always kind of sticks out to me.
Yeah, I feel like it's just spicy is just one of those things that like, it just makes a deck fun, you know? Mm-hmm.
Keeps it entertaining.
And
like spices in real life from all over the world, having different flavors to them, different applications. There's a lot of different ways to look at spice and Magic.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, spicy can lead you into like more competitive playing too, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I know neither of us really play competitively because we just play Magic to have fun.
Yeah,
and chill. That you can't have fun playing comp. I'm not saying that. But just like, you know, just casual playing. Like no thought process is having to happen in my brain as I'm playing.
The amount of triggers I miss, I would be DQ'd before I drew my first seven.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think spicy is great for Magic. Spicy's good. There's always a few spicy cards in every set come out. People talk about that, you know. We talk about what are the spiciest cards for this set. Not necessarily the most expensive cards, but, you know, the cards that do work. So.
And we got a couple fun sets coming up later this year.
We do.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, on having that bad pack luck. And do I learn my lesson and buy singles? No, not really.
Yeah. I still have yet to pull as any sort of serialized card. Haven't done that. So
I feel everybody I know, apart from you, has pulled a serialized. And they just keep eluding me, which is okay.
I keep seeing people pull serialized cards, and I'm like, when is my turn? When am I gonna open a serialized card?
I can't even think of like the last really wild pull I got. My favorite spicy pull, though, would in general was when I came back to Magic and randomly bought a pack of Kaldheim. It was at the end of Strixhaven. I came in for AFR. And this little toy store, which was the only place that sold Magic within 4 hours of us, had like one pack left. I was like, I'll try it. And it ended up being my first Mythic, too, because Mythics weren't around when I first started playing. Mm-hmm. And it was Vorinclex.
Oh, that's a good one.
So it's spicy on a lot of levels, a little sour, and depending, sometimes salty. It's a nice little mixture.
Yeah.
And you get your greens in.
Gotta be healthy.
No, we have to. You gotta have a healthy mixture in there. It can't just all be meat and potatoes. Though sometimes that does just sound good.
It does.
But on that subject, that kind of leads us to one of the more elusive flavors, umami, which a lot of people have different ways of describing it. I like to think of it as savory, refreshing. And since we're talking about meat, like there's something satisfying about playing a meat hook massacre or a blasphemous act.
Oh, goodness. Just went straight to destruction.
I mean, this is the year of my villain arc, so I've got to live up to it. And you are the one who kind of sent me
I know. I feel like umami, like pet cards can fit in here too, you know, like everybody's got that pet card, you know.
They really do. And I think that's a really good way to look at it. Just cards that are satisfying to play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your pet card?
My pet card is Bloodforged Battleaxe.
Not surprised.
Yes. I don't play it in every deck because I don't play the card in every deck because it's not good in every deck, but I do put it in the decks that I feel like it might work in, and then I get very excited every time I play it. So
you do, and then we all get excited when you play it, but then our excitement wanes as we see axes upon axes upon axes.
Yeah, it's fine. What's your pet card?
So mine's kind of out there. It's a Dorn Pouncer, but not the regular one. It's a there was a promo from a game day, and it's a literal pet card because the art on that looks like one of our former cats that was sort of an important part of our family. And it's just a little two drop, one and a white for a 1/1 double strike cat with Eternalize. So Eternalize is you can pay 3 white and white to exile it from your graveyard and create a token that's a copy of it, except it's a 4/4 black zombie cat, which is a nice little payoff in the end. It's also a bittersweet card because we lost that cat. So it's kind of like she's always in that deck. And that was sort of the origin of the Brimaz deck that I always play and why it'll always stay the way it is. I think I've bought like a stack of these cards in case I ever lose it, but I'll have to post up a photo of it or a little video because the foiling on that card is immaculate.
I'll have to see that. I feel like those cards that, like, you know, they're not necessarily like spicy cards by all means. But like they're those cards that just like make you feel good, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they may not be the best cards, but you're super glad to have them.
Yeah. You know it's going to get a use. You're going to have a spot for it in almost any deck. I'd love to hear what our watchers and listeners think of when they consider an Umami card or a pet card. Hopefully they'll leave a few responses in the comments.
Yeah, let us know.
And who knows, maybe it'll be a topic of discussion on a future episode. Maybe they'll provide an ingredient that we might use, something for the spice rack.
Ooh. So, speaking of cats, that leaves us with the last one, which is sweets. I mean, sweet, I feel like the lore of Magic can often be very sweet. We just came from an entirely sweet set, Wilds of Eldraine. There was so much candy in that set, if you think of it literally.
There really was. We had a whole subset story in Green Black that was sort of Gretel's Revenge.
Yeah. So all the candy, like, we had, was candy, adorable.
Candy, demonic donuts, or donut horrors.
But they're still cute, you know, like,
they're really so sweet. Were.
So I feel like there's a lot of sweetness in Magic, and especially in the stories, and there's lots of cards too that just, like, they're very sweet cards. You know, we have unicorns and we have little rabbits and we have all these sweet little animals.
We have friendship, we have romance, we have characters that we've followed for years that we've come to love and want to be invested in. We also have friendships that come from Magic, which I think come together because of some cards or from games or interactions. And that's really, I mean, what it's all about.
Yeah. Seeing, you know, new players and little kids playing, learning the game. You know, I think it's definitely sweet. So I think Magic altogether, Magic the Gathering, is pretty sweet.
The sweetest of it all. With that, I think we should transition to our next segment. Every episode, we're going to have a little questionnaire at the end. Tonight's target of this, is, if it resolves, is going to be Nat, but you'll probably hear from other content creators, guests, friends, foes, people in the community, maybe a couple people that are just joining it for the first time. And it's just simple, 10 questions, everyone gets the same. And Nat, starting off, what card brings you happiness?
See, this question is so hard for me because so many cards bring me happiness.
And are most of them mill?
Yes. I was going to say probably, I feel like every time I cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter, like, I'm smiling on the inside as well as the outside.
I like to think that I'm laughing with my targets.
Yes. You know, that card brings me happiness. I feel like that's kind of evil, but, like, it does. I feel like most of the cards that bring me external happiness are cards with that, which is art that I love. I love the art in Magic. I have quite a few favorite artists. The basic lands that have come out lately have just been stellar. And, like, they're just basic lands, but they make me happy because they're beautiful. So
they really tie a deck together.
All of the cards bring me happiness. Well, not all of them.
I mean, if people could see behind this green screen, they'd see piles and piles of happiness. But what's a card that brings you misery then?
And it's interesting because this card is Dimir, but I really, really do not like Yuriko in the command zone. You get to cheat commander tax, and the way the card works, it's just, I feel like we all just get pummeled to death without even getting pummeled. So that card brings me misery. And
I think I could have guessed that answer.
Yeah. I don't love playing against Yuriko. I will, but like I'm in pain while I'm playing against it.
Then let's transition away from the misery and start getting back to the happier side of it. What's a plane you would love to live on?
Ooh, I feel like I would love to live on either Strixhaven. I love to learn, and Strixhaven's like all about learning. Or
I just live in the library.
Yeah, honestly. Or Kamigawa, just because like it looks so cool and like all the neon and like. Mm-hmm. I feel like those would be my top two, but probably Strixhaven at the top. Just, you know, you have all these resources to like learning and doing cool things. And so, yeah, I would live on Strixhaven.
So with Strixhaven, well, they're taking another step further then. Which schoolhouse?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like I would have to be there and like have to decide like after I was there, you know, like when you go to college and you don't know like what you're going to do yet, you have to like try out a little bit of everything. I feel like that's what I would do before like I decided, you know, which one I would want to be a part of.
And there's a lot of fun to be had there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this also segues nicely into our next question. And it's going to kind of drill down, I guess, a little bit more, because I want to ask, what is your favorite slice of the color pie? So we're going from pairs to singles now.
Okay. This is going to come to the surprise of absolutely nobody. But blue. We're an island gal. It has the most mill.
Which takes us back to Tasha's hideous laughter.
Yeah. Blue's cool. You get, you know, I feel like you get the cool flying creatures in blue, and you get merfolk in blue, and of course you get like the counters. That's what everyone thinks of. You get card draw, like, and
counters.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, counters are like what I always go to, counters and merfolk.
Yeah. So I feel like blue just has a lot of variety, and I really like that.
I'd have to agree with you, I think. And I never would have thought I would have been a blue player, but it's something I notice more, I gravitate toward.
Yeah. I play a lot of blue.
Now, if we're talking about an actual pie, since this is a show rooted in flavor.
It is.
What would be your choice of topping on it?
Apple.
Nice. And it's also appropriate for fall.
Yeah, I'm an apple gal.
Apple?
I am not a pumpkin spice. I am an apple. So, yeah, some apple with cinnamon. Perfection.
We just had a very delicious salted caramel apple pie. Oh,
so good.
Mm-hmm.
I watched, this is so off topic, I watched a YouTube video the other day that was like snacks for Halloween. And one of the new ones that's limited edition right now is Apple Harvest Sour Patch Kids. And so I'm going to go to every Walmart I can find this week to go find some, because I really want to try them. They had like three different apple flavors. There was like caramel apple and like an apple something. I don't know. I love apple. So we're going to find
intrigued by those. So I'm going to be interested to hear what you think. And continuing on flavor then, what's your favorite flavor text?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So it goes along with my favorite pet card in Magic, Bloodforge Battle Axe. And so this is on the borderless card. the art done by Ron Spencer. And the flavor text is, she awoke with blood on her brow, an axe in her hands, and heads at her feet. I feel like it's just so powerful. I love it so much. Like, I
feel like it's so you.
I keep joking that, like, if I ever have, like, a gravestone, I want that on my gravestone. Like, it is so cool.
Well, I wouldn't fault you for doing that. Oh, funny enough, that's our next question. What's a recurring fault on your turn?
Oh, we talked about this earlier. It may just be the ADHD in me. I am bad at triggers. Like, I am bad at remembering my triggers. I am so bad.
And they just keep stacking on up, especially with more and more cards now.
Yeah, and I try not to build complicated decks, but sometimes it just happens. And you're like, I can't keep track of all this. And then I feel bad because I feel like I'm taking forever on my turn. But it's mainly because I'm trying not to miss anything. You know, because I do miss so much that I'm like really trying to focus and make sure that I am doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. So, yeah, missing triggers is probably a recurring fault on my turn. That, or I feel like this isn't specific to my turn, but I play aggro even when I'm not playing an aggro deck, which makes me a villain very quickly in the game. And so people come at me very quickly. And I feel like that can be a fault sometimes, is I get so excited about playing a card that I'm like, I have to play this now. Yeah. And
I have to attack with it before it goes away.
Not even attacking, just like, I have to play this card now because, like, I want to play it and I want to be able to say that I played it. But, like, sometimes I don't think, and I just, that's the only thing I think about. And I shouldn't play it that early, but I play it that early. That's not a turn-specific thing. That's a game-specific thing. But that is definitely my faults in Magic.
So if we could ignore faults then and ignore rules, if you could rule zero any card into a game, into a command zone, what would it be and why?
I built this deck. Ignacio. Mm-hmm. Let me pull up the card real quick so I can read it off to our viewers or listeners. Ignacio was from Unfinity, so of course it is not legal. So you would have to rule zero it in, but it says, as it enters the battlefield, choose armor, blood, book, bottle, fang, fire, scroll, spear, sword, or water. Whenever you cast a spell with a chosen object and its art, create 2 treasure tokens. So like I said, I'm really into art. So like, mm-hmm. I built a few like different ones where I chose different arts and I just threw in as many cards with the art as I could, even the lands, which don't trigger the commander. Like, I just thought it was so cool to have this. Like, so the one that has the absolute, I think it's my most viewed deck on Moxfield overall, is my Ignacio. I think I used Tevish as the partner commander just for the colors. Mm-hmm. So it's Rakdos, but it's blood themed. Every single card has blood in the art. Even the lands I used.
Not morbid at all, but spooky.
Yeah, I used lands from, I think, Hours of Devastation. Or Amonkhet, I think, had some too as well. I don't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, I made sure every single card had blood in the art. So it's not a good deck by any means, but it is definitely a flavorful thematic deck. So
it's satisfying.
It is satisfying. So that's what I would rule zero in.
And we got 2 more questions left. Okay. So almost a 2-parter though. If you challenged a planeswalker, who would it be? Then it could be to anything, a fight, a game, a dance off, a cook off.
Ooh. that changes things, because originally I was like, okay, who would be the weakest? Because I don't want to die.
It'd be a friendly duel.
Oh, I have the answer to this. I would challenge Liliana to baseball. You know why I say that is because I cosplayed Liliana the baseball, because they did a secret lair where she's a baseball player. She holds her bat wrong, so she does not know how to play baseball. So I would challenge Liliana to baseball, because I feel like I'm not good at baseball, but I feel like I might be able to beat her because I at least know how to hold the bat correctly. So
we might have to make a video of that, do a little challenge.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see.
And in that challenge, in issuing it, what would you say to them?
Oh, man. What would I say to Liliana?
I mean, besides batter up.
I feel like I wouldn't want to make her angry because she would destroy me.
But here's the good thing. She'd bring you back.
Yeah. As a zombie. I would like...
Wait again, 'tis the season.
I would like to keep my skin clear and not, mangled. I don't know what I would say to Liliana. That's a good question. What is she doing? Like, lore-wise, she's... I feel like she's so insignificant right now.
She kind of, last I remember, was Dominaria United. I believe it was Homecoming by Shauna Maguire was her last story.
Yeah.
And she went back to visit her family home.
I know she was around for Phyrexia. Like, they mentioned that she had...
She was.
Talked to someone. But, like, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is she doing? What you doing, girl? Get back.
Maybe we'll find out.
Get back on the horse.
And if you don't have a horse, raise one from the dead and hop on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. Maybe we'll see her soon. But I feel like, lore-wise, she's just kind of, like, in the background. She doesn't seem like a background kind of person, so.
No, not at all. Now I'm really curious.
She's scheming. She's scheming.
Would it be rival scheming to, say, Tezzeret, who also kind of vanished off?
Ooh, Tezzeret did vanish off, but I feel like that was kind of, we could kind of see that coming, because Tezzeret's always kind of been a little bit cowardly.
Mm-hmm. Always vanishing, running off. But now got a little bit of a Darksteel modification.
Yeah, that's true. He likes to be on what he thinks is the winning team, and when things aren't going right, he just kind of... disappears. So
he scoops.
Yeah, he scoops. He's one of those people that scoops. So we'll see.
And with that, I think we'll be seeing everyone next time for another episode.
Yes, it's been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on our socials. We can be found at
Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, everywhere you can find your favorite podcasts, YouTube. Just look for Flavor Profiles.
And until next time, keep cooking, Magic. Been great having you in our kitchen.
Let us know if you have a favorite flavor on socials.
We can be found on Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere your favorite podcasts are served up.
Just search for Flavor Profiles.
Our music is by Cormac Bluestone.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Nat.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Keep cooking magic.